What's going on, guys? Hope all is well. Hope you and your family are safe and you continue to be so. Now, today's episode, I do apologize for the darkness if you're watching the video and you hear some noise in the background. I'm still dealing with the rain. The rain should be gone by tomorrow and you should be able to see my handsome smiling face on Friday and not hear the rain in the background. I've been trying to edit out the rain, but it's been a little difficult. Anyway, and it's been a little difficult for me because with the rain being here, I've been trying to potty train. As you know, I have a new Cane Corso Rescue. He's a puppy. He's 15 weeks, and he's walking like a newborn giraffe. Like, he is just in between my legs. He's confused. He's not. He gets distracted by birds. He's never seen a bird. He's never seen a car. So every little thing distracts him from using the toilet. And then, you know, on top of that, it's the lack of sleep, and I haven't hit the gym. Anyway, hopefully I can get on some kind of schedule and come back with you guys on Friday, fresh and feeling 100. Right now I'm about 90, well, 80, well, 75%. But I feel better than I did when I first got him because I was on no sleep. I got a couple hours last night, so I'm very grateful for that. But another thing I want to talk about is what Joe Biden has accomplished. His administration has just accomplished something that's never been done before, guys. Unfortunately, it's not a positive. It's about the U.S. national debt. That's right. The U.S. national debt has just passed, wait for it, $31 trillion for the first time in U.S. history, guys. Treasury Department data released Tuesday showed that the total national debt was $31.123 trillion as of Monday. Can you imagine? Can you fathom how much $1 trillion looks like? I don't even know what a million looks like, but imagine that. 31 of it. The new milestone was reached even as the federal government's insatiable spending has slowed considerably, again, as the COVID pandemic has waned. Now, in the months following the outbreak, the national debt rose about $1 trillion in just 1 month's time. Not just once, but twice in 2020. So, as a result, the federal government decided to spend $3.1 trillion more than it received in 2020. On top of that, it spent $2.8 trillion more than it received the following year. Yes, so now in 2022, the budget deficit is expected to be about $1 trillion. Wow. Some experts even believe that $1 trillion per year in new debt is the floor given growth in entitlement spending as well as new spending priorities set by Congress this year. And you know what those priorities are, guys. You know, the health and environmental policy bill known as the Inflation Reduction Act, which we all know is working so well to reduce inflation, and assisting Ukraine and its never-ending war with Russia, which we all know is a money laundering scam. Anyway, while much of the drop in the annual budget deficit is due to the easing of emergency COVID spending, President Biden has praised his administration. Great job, administration, for slowing the rate at which the government accumulates new debt. Good job. Quote, you know Republicans talk about being fiscally responsible, Biden said in September. Last year, I reduced the deficit $350 billion. You know how much this year, not counting the Medicaid changes? $1.7 trillion. So I don't want to hear it from Republicans about fiscal responsibility. And that's a quote from the great Puerto Rican President Joe Biden. Republicans have been arguing for several weeks that voters are ready for reduced federal spending, which they say is a major contributor to, of course, higher inflation levels. And they have also said this issue is a reason to give the GOP control of Congress in the midterm elections. I believe so. What do you guys think? Now, again, in August, Senator Ted Cruz said the Democrats' Inflation Reduction Act amounts to hundreds of billions in new spending that will drive up inflation and prices, hammer small businesses and American manufacturing, also increase the price of gas and the IRS, and sick the IRS on Americans, all while raising taxes on Americans in nearly every tax bracket, including those who make less than $400,000 a year. Promise that he made. And just like this, you know, this is a president that makes promises and breaks promises, unlike what we used to have. U.S. gas prices now are also trending. Why? Well, they're higher in recent weeks amid the increased demand and refinery issues that the U.S. is currently facing. The average price of gasoline now, according to today's data on Wednesday, is $3.83, the highest since last August, guys. And I spoke about this last time. I want you guys to think about this. Holiday time is coming up. You're going to have to travel to see your loved ones. How the hell are you going to do it with gas prices back to close to $5 a gallon? Now, we all know the story, right? According to Karine, the press secretary, the president has no control over gas prices. This is what they say when the price is up. When the price comes down, it's all thanks to Joe Biden and his amazing negotiating skills. Well, where are his negotiating skills here? Also, keep in mind, folks, if we were pumping our own fuel like we used to be doing, this would not be an issue. We were a net exporter of fuel in the last administration, in the Trump administration. Also, if we were doing that, we would not have this massive deficit, this massive amount of debt. And we would also be able to travel and maybe bring some of these numbers down as far as inflation is concerned. But I digress. These are probably things you guys know, and I'm honestly pretty sure these are things that they know as well. But maybe this is all just a money grab. Who truly knows the truth? The regional difference in gas prices are stark at the moment, with prices on the West Coast hitting $6 a gallon, even higher at some places, while Texas and Gulf Coast states have prices dipping below $3 in some areas, according to Andrew Gross, which is an AAA spokesperson, AAA spokesperson. This is all done on, he said all this on Monday in a statement. Now, the OPEC Plus Alliance just announced today that it will cut oil production by 2 million barrels a day, a move that likely will send gas not down, but of course higher after a year of craziness at the pump. In a statement announcing the cuts, the OPEC Plus Alliance cited the, quote, uncertainty that surrounds the global economic and oil market outlooks. Basically, what they're saying is, we run this shit. We control the oil. You guys aren't producing enough oil for yourself, so you have to come begging us. And we know Russia's not going to help you because you're in a proxy war with them through Ukraine. So, and you want to push your Green New Deal nonsense and run electric vehicles and say you're going to go electric. So, we're going to make you punish. We're going to punish you guys. We're going to make you suffer. We're going to make the price whatever we want to make the price, and you're going to have to pay it. They have us by the balls. And I don't think we should be by the balls because we weren't by the balls in the last administration. We had them by the balls, actually. We were making our own prices. We were a net exporter. But this administration doesn't believe in doing that. They believe in laundering money and lying to the people. Now, this represents the largest cut in production since the start of the pandemic. In a statement, the Biden administration said it was disappointed. Aww. It was disappointed in the decision, calling it short-sighted and in light of global energy prices already lifted higher by Russia's invasion of Ukraine. It's always somebody else's fault with this administration. Now, quote, at a time when maintaining global supply of energy is of paramount importance, the development will have the most negative impact on lower and middle-income countries that are already reeling from elevated energy prices, it said. These people, man, they're constantly lying, always blaming someone else. The decision by the oil cartel and its allies announced in Vienna comes after the price of oil and gas spiked this summer amid the Russian invasion of Ukraine. Prices trended downward from July to mid-September as President Joe Biden sought to reduce gas prices and stress on Americans' wallets ahead of the midterm elections. He can't do anything right, guys. Let's come on. Now, according to Capital Economics Research Group, they now expect the global oil prices to rise from $93 to $100 per barrel, with U.S. benchmark prices rising from $88 to $92 a barrel. That's at the outset of Russia's invasion of Ukraine. Global oil prices had climbed to as high as $128 a barrel. Quote, we had always expected supply growth to slow later this year and into 2023, but this latest OPEC Plus action has reinforced our view that prices will end the year a little higher. Carolyn Bain, chief commodities analyst for Capital Economics, said in a note following this Wednesday announcement. Now, also keep in mind, at the same time this is happening, at least six California refineries are undergoing maintenance, which makes it a limited pipeline supply to the West Coast from locations east of the Rockies. So I believe that the oil prices will continue to rise through the holiday season. Political analysts have observed a strong correlation between gas prices and Biden's approval rating, as voters home in on gas prices as a proxy for inflation and thus the state of the economy. Now, according to Wall Street analysts, they say that the Biden administration could counter OPEC's move by releasing stocks from the U.S. Strategic Petroleum, but we've been selling that to China, and even boosting the so-called NOPEC bill that would penalize other oil-producing states by opening them up to antitrust suits. This is all unnecessary, because if we just open the pipelines and started pumping our own oil like we used to, everything will be fine. But anyway, OPEC Plus, who's de facto leader, is Saudi Arabia, is comprised of 13 oil exporting countries and 11 non-member allied countries, including Russia. So we have a president who is arguably fighting a war with Russia through Ukraine, talking smack to Russia. But we also need Russia for our fuel. So instead of coming to a compromise, instead of coming to a understanding or ceasefire, and maybe trying to, you know, calm the waters, instead of doing that, no. What does this president do? He decides to continue his war, continue his attack. And is that a smart move? Is that something that he should do? Honestly, that is the worst thing you can do. Why poke the bear? We need an ally. We have China, who is rapidly growing, going to surpass our military, already surpassed us industrially, already surpassed us technology-wise, right? We need an ally. Why would we not be an ally with Russia? But no. The reason why we can't be an ally with Russia is because we have a president and an administration who is clearly bought and sold. Clearly only care about their own wallets and their own bank accounts. And if it's not clear to you guys now, I don't know what else it's going to take. Look at your savings. Look at your 401k. Look at your retirement. Look at the jobs that are being offered. We're at $15 an hour at McDonald's at some places, and people still can't afford to feed their families. This is not the America I want, and I know it's not the America you want. Guys, if you know anyone who's thinking about voting Democrat, make sure you share all of my videos with them. They need to wake up. They're living in a dream state. You know, there's very little Democrats left that are true patriots. Tulsi Gabbard, in my opinion, is the last one, if she's, again, truly a patriot. I'm not sure. And unfortunately, we don't have the time to find out, guys. This midterm election is a game changer. We need to take back control. We need to flip the vote in all of these Democratic states, and we need to become united once again. This president that we have now, I don't care what he's saying. He's Puerto Rican now. You know, he identifies as this. Listen, you are the great divider. You have not unified anybody. The only thing you've unified is probably your wallet with China, right? The only thing you've unified is your name with being a pedophile, right? I mean, even your own wife. If you ever watch him doing press conferences, you could see her face of disappointment, especially that video. I got to find it. When he talks about being raised in a Puerto Rican, whatever, I don't remember the exact words, but something about being in a Puerto Rican household or upbringings, whatever. Her face, you could see that she was like, oh shit, why the hell did he just say that shit? But anyway, it's getting so dark. I lost light in my car, so excuse me for this. I'm going to have to turn this on real quick. There you go. And that's going to be beeping now forever. But it is what it is, guys. Unfortunately, this is where we are. But we have to wake people up. There are still people who are asleep. I know people that are still thinking about voting for John Fetterman. I'm trying to get them, you know, to wake up. And he's running for Senate now in Pennsylvania. This is the guy who looks like Uncle Fester, who literally wants to free people who commit second-degree murder. Yeah, this guy who tried to shoot somebody and says he didn't know. He starts flipping his story. Oh, I didn't know he was black. I didn't know he, you know, I thought he was a school shooter, even though it was a Saturday. You know, all these stories from this guy. these Democrats, man, they're only about filling their own pockets. We had a president, and you guys know he lost money. You're going to tell me how does a president lose money when all of these other presidents became millionaires? They didn't get paid $1 million a year salary, but all of these ex-presidents, even some who weren't, like Hillary Clinton, are all millionaires now. There's massive corruption in the state. There's definitely a deep state issue. It's not a conspiracy theory. It's fact. Nancy Pelosi is still doing insider trading, and a lot of other Congress members are as well. This all has to be shut down, and we need to rebuild from the ground up. But it all starts with the midterms. So guys, stay woke. Stay awake. Keep your head on a swivel. Look at your surroundings at all times. Keep something on you to defend yourself. I'm going to say it in every video because I'm sick and tired of seeing people getting stabbed in the back, figuratively and literally, unfortunately. Anyway, getting darker and darker out here, and I'm about to kill my car battery. So I'll talk to you guys later. Be safe. Like, comment, subscribe. Hit me up at CJ Bronson Show. And don't forget, the store is open, cjbronsonstore.com. All right. Be good, guys. Peace.